The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
A report by the HSE saying that nearly 5,000 people have been hospitalised with cannabis-related mental disorders over the last 5 years. In a moment, we'll be joined by Dr. Gareth McGovern, a medical director of the Priory Medical Clinic, a GP specialising in addiction. But first, Professor Ray Wally, also a GP and associate clinical professor at the Department of Medicine in UCD. Nearly 5,000 people hospitalised with cannabis-related mental disorders. Does that mean the cannabis was the cause of the mental disorder, or could it have been that people were trying to self-medicate with cannabis, which is one of the factors recorded in their admission?
Well, I think what is recorded is that the admission is attributed to the use of cannabis. Other than the individual detail of the individual there, I don't have it. But they would have specific criteria that it adhered to, and this data would have been recorded by clinical professors of psychiatry.
Okay, but can you understand why I'm asking the question, in the sense that their mental disorder may or may not have been caused by the cannabis use? It may have been something else that they might have exacerbated, or they tried to treat with the use of cannabis.
Well, that may be the case. There is much myths out there in regard to cannabis, and that's why the state delegated the Health Protection Regulatory Agency about 5 years ago to look at the clinical indications for cannabis. And this scientific body reviewed the data and found that the evidence-based medicine out there for clinical use was limited. It was limited to rare forms of epilepsy where normal medications didn't work. It was limited to the use for intractable nausea in oncology cancer patients where normal medicines didn't work. And there was also evidence that it helped with spasms in people with multiple sclerosis when, again, normal medicines didn't work. Like, obviously, you will have anecdotes from individuals, but how we decide things in medicine is on the basis of evidence-based double-blind studies. And the evidence is not there to show that it should be clinically used, except for those narrow issues.
I understand the point you're making, but I suppose the question I'm asking is that a lot of people make decisions for themselves because they may be suffering with mental health issues that they feel that cannabis relaxes them or helps them. Now, it may not do so sufficiently to stop being hospitalised, but that could account for some of the numbers, these near 5,000 over the last 5 years.
That's a possibility, and there's studies out there in the last few weeks from Canada which shows that since legalization, there's been a massive increase in the number of elderly people presenting to emergency departments with cannabis basically problems. And there is much, again, myth out there. You know, since the legalization in 1992 to 2022 in the States, there's a 2,100% increase, and that followed use of normalization language like medicinal cannabis that started with California in 1996, or recreational cannabis legalization 2014. Yet the problem is that there is evidence that it is carcinogenic, there is evidence that that's causing cancer, there's evidence that it's atherogenic, causes heart disease. There's evidence that gram per gram, the causes of hardening the artery is the same as cigarettes, yet we are reversing our legislation in many countries in regard to tobacco. And there's certainly evidence that it has psychoaffective problems like psychosis, depression, increased suicidal risk.
Okay, just before I bring Gareth in, a couple of other things. So it said this report from the HSE said 561 people were hospitalised in those 5 years with cannabis poisoning. What's cannabis poisoning? How does that happen?
Well, basically, people have taken sufficient amount of cannabis. Like, what, you know, gone are the days where the amount of THC in cannabis, we got cannabidiol and THC in cannabis. Gone are the days where the percentages are now very low, at less than 5%. Now you could be taking 15-20%. And also on top of that, we have a new constituents called HHC, which has been outlawed in Denmark, France, and the UK, which has been shown to be sold in stores that sell cannabidiol oil, and what's more is they're advertising it as having cannabis effects, yet it is not illegal in this country, yet we are illegalizing vaping. So you take sufficient of this stuff, it causes poisoning levels of it, which are going to have toxic effects, which could affect all parts of your body, obviously cerebrally, chemically affecting your liver, your kidneys, things like that. So it's classified as a poison according to the criteria by the poisoning authorities.
Is that not an argument, though, in favour of regulation, indeed perhaps maybe legalisation, that rather than people buying black market cannabis, which could be loaded with deadly levels of THC, that at least much in the way that you regulate nicotine and the doses in cigarettes, you actually put a structure and regulation on it?
100% relevant question, Matt. But the problem is the experience in the US and Canada and many other jurisdictions is that the black market has thrived because what you're controlling is the price in the legal market, and the black market would always drop its price. Another argument was that this will reduce the amount of usage in deprivation areas. That has not occurred in those jurisdictions. And the content has not been controlled in these jurisdictions such that the levels have gone up because the black market has thrived.
Dr. Garrett McGovern, what do you make of these figures which would suggest that since there has been a more liberal approach to cannabis use around the world, that the numbers of people presenting with mental health disorders which can be linked to cannabis has gone up dramatically?
I'd just like to correct Ryan one thing. Cannabis wasn't legalised in 1992 in Canada. It was legalised in 2018. It's just a point of information. I firmly believe, and it's to your point, Matt, that, you know, if anything, this report, if it's taken at face value, actually is all the reasons why we should be regulating. We can cherry pick the studies from Canada and from America, and each side will produce the study that suits their own argument. Very, very little of it is honest. I think we need to be honest about this. But I have seen no evidence in all the years that I've been treating addiction, and it's 26 years, and in really, you know, fairly hard-end harm reduction service, I have seen scant evidence that prohibition is in the best interests of people who use drugs. And there's no relationship, zero relationship, between the harshness of laws and drug use prevalence. So we really kind of need to consider these things. And you're absolutely right. HHC, which is mentioned in the article, which is a semi-synthetic cannabinoid, is a product of prohibition. That's not a product of legalization. It's a product of prohibition. If cannabis was regulated properly, and we don't have to do it like America, we don't have to do it like Canada, we can do it our way. We've shown in the past we can do things the Irish way. We can do it and evaluate it. We can research it. We can study it and tailor it so that we reduce the risk of harm to people. But as it stands, we have a model where we prohibit cannabis and we believe that that is the greater good for people. Well, it isn't the greater good for people. It's increasing harm, not decreasing harm.
But Garrett, have you seen evidence that the increased potency of what is available is leading to more cases of people presenting for help?
No, I haven't seen that. I mean, can I say this about the potency? We've been hearing from the 60s that the cannabis of the day is 6 times, 10 times. If that were to be true, if the cannabis was increasing exponentially, the cannabis today probably would somewhere in the order of hundreds of thousands times more stronger than the THC that was used in the 60s. So this is just another argument, again, to create a moral panic around this drug. Why? You have to remember, if we're going to take that study at face value, if we're going to take it at face value, that reporting, which is very unbalanced, I have to say, in the Irish Independent, you have to remember that's occurring in a paradigm of prohibition. So you can't blame legalization on what's in that article. That is prohibition. Prohibition is currently how cannabis is unregulated in this country.
Okay, what do you say to that, Ray Wally?
In regards to the figures, if I say gave dates, they may be incorrect, but I'll read this. By 2,100% increase from 1992 to 2022 in the US. Medical cannabis started with California in 1996, recreation cannabis legalization 2014. Certainly, basically, the content of cannabis has increased. Where it has been legalized, big example is a good article in the Washington Post by Dr. Humphreys, one of the drug czars to advisory to government, and shows the gradual increase in content in the US over the years. Was less than 5%, now averages 20-25%. We certainly have seen the average THC content go up in this country. There's one person who presents to Beaumont Emergency Department every day of the week with hyperemesis cannabis-related syndrome, not in any way mentioned much except by the emergency department consultants. The problems with harms have increased. And it beggars belief that we are thinking of reversing legislation on tobacco when the potential harms, if we have greater population increase, will be similar to tobacco, since gram per gram, it provides the same amount of tar when you burn this stuff and other poisons.
And sorry, Ray, what about vaping cannabis products?
All of this can lead to, when you burn this stuff, the problem is that basically it creates the content. When you burn it, it creates the same carcinogenic content, the same atherogenic content. And on top of that, unlike tobacco, you've got THC mixed into that, and you've got the psychoactive effects. There's actually concern will be that this is a stepping stone into other type of vaping. We already have legislation coming in regard to vaping, burning of nicotine. I'm not too sure when it's going to be enacted. It was declared in December 2023. There's a recent study there in the HRB within the last few weeks showing that vaping nicotine is a gateway to vaping to tobacco. You know, it isn't beyond the belief that cannabis vaping will end up with vaping other things and tobacco.
Okay, well, I'm more interested for this particular piece in the mental health related issues. So, Dr. Garrett McGovern, if cannabis is a mood altering drug and people wouldn't smoke it unless it was mood altering, is it not logical to assume that a certain amount of people whose moods are altered could develop psychosis?
Absolutely. I have patients who've developed psychosis from taking a number of psychoactive drugs, and they're the very people that shouldn't be taking drugs. So I'm very attuned to that, Matt. But, you know, these articles are all very interesting, but they're occurring in a paradigm of, as I say, prohibition. And we don't have any solutions to this. If you look at the Citizens Assembly, and they just finished their work recently, I mean, there was nearly a 50-50 divide between whether people wanted cannabis legalized or whether people wanted it continue to be prohibited. And I think it was a fairly done deal, really, in terms of not criminalizing people, which is a slightly different issue. That's been caught in possession, not criminalizing the person who uses the drug. So I think the landscape is changing one way or the other. And I think we need to move with the times. I mean, if we have cannabis problems in this country, we're not dealing with them. We're talking about this and we're arguing about this. We need solutions. We need to help people who need help. And many of them who use cannabis, which isn't really in this article at all, which is probably about 90% of people who generally take drugs that are currently illicit, won't run into any problem whatsoever. You know, they're forgotten about in this.
All right, I'm out of time. I have to leave it there. I'm trying to give both of you equal time. Dr. Garrett McGovern, GP, Professor Ray Wally, GP, thank you both very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.